Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Give us ears to hear this morning. Give us eyes to see the wonders of your word, the beauty of your truth, the steadfastness and your faithfulness and your goodness towards us through Christ Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. So today we come to the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we find, again, that he is simply splitting his audience into two categories. Jesus doesn't overcomplicate things for us. He makes it clear and truthful. He's been doing this for us all the way through. In verses 13 and 14, we learn about the narrow and the wide gates. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. In verses 15 to 20, we learn about bearing good fruit and bad fruit. So every healthy tree that bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Today, we read that you and I are either wise or foolish. And this all depends on how we respond to God speaking to us through his word. Because in his conclusion, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is asking for a response. As we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus' hearers were hearing his teaching, and as we've been hearing his teaching, something should have been happening in our hearts. And how we respond to God highlights who we are. You are either a foolish or a wise builder. Do you approach God on his terms, or do we approach God on our terms? And today, we find out who we are, and it is of the utmost importance. Let's turn to God's word to see a great example of what a wise and a foolish builder looks like. Jesus is teaching for us in Luke 18 is really going to help. Jesus said this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. How we respond to God is a heart issue. And when you look through the Bible to find a wise man, you realize that you actually come across a man who believes he's a fool. He realizes his place before a mighty, holy, awesome God, the one who gave him life and breath and everything. And the foolish man is actually the one who thinks he is wise in his own eyes before a mighty, holy, awesome God. The wise man is the one who actually realizes that he is the fool. The wise man is the person who acknowledges and holds up his hands before God and says, I have done wrong. I am a sinner. I am in need of God to show me mercy. The wise man approaches God with a heart attitude like this, as one writer said, will God accept me? Will God accept me? Is there a chance for me to be forgiven? Is there actually a chance that God would forgive my sin and all my wrongdoings? But the foolish man is actually the one who thinks he is wise in his own eyes. He approaches God with a heart attitude like this. Will I accept God? I don't really need God, actually, at the moment. I'll choose God when I need him. I'm okay on my own. I mean, look at my life. It's not like I'm like the others. I'm a good person. Notice the complete difference in the response of their hearts. One comes in complete need of God, and the other is blasé about God. Take it or leave it. And it's this heart response that Jesus wants us to think about personally this morning. How is your heart towards God as you build your life? Because we're all trying to build something. We're all trying to build a life. Both the people in the story are building. Each one is building a house. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Everyone needs a home. We can all relate to this. We'll want that place of security, a place of safety. But one thing we need to ask ourselves this morning is this. Is my house going to stand when the storm comes? Is the foundation of the house that we are building on going to keep us secure? Because that's what we need to focus on, our foundations. Because the wise man takes God's word and does it. The wise man hears the God-man Christ Jesus and holds on to his word and builds his life on it, around it. The words of Jesus sculpt their lives. The wise man's approach to building is very different than the foolish man. And the wise man in the story realizes that he is a sinner before a holy God. He declares, along with Isaiah in chapter 64, "We have all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." Or maybe like King David in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The wise man realizes that he is spiritually bankrupt before God, and that if he stood before God, God would find him guilty of committing heinous crimes against a holy God. Jesus opened the Sermon on the Mount with these words: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is who is blessed: the wise man, the one who knows that he has been a fool, trusting in his own righteous deeds, which are like filthy rags, to save him. The wise man is the one who knows his need for God to work in his heart and change his heart from stone to flesh. The Christian, the follower of Christ, is the one who knows he has nothing to boast in. I don't stand here today gloating in my goodness. I stand here today boasting in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who has saved me by his precious blood. As Ephesians 2 says, "You were dead, spiritually dead, in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." This is all of us before God saved us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins before God reached down and pulled us from the pit. We were by nature children of wrath, enemies of God, following the passions of our flesh, doing as we please. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you truly believe this morning? Do you truly believe that you are saved by grace alone? Do you understand the true depravity of the human heart before a holy God, and what it cost God to save us from our sin? The wise man hears these words and sees their need for a savior, and pleads with God to have mercy on them, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." See, the wise man builds his life on all that Christ teaches us. The wise man builds his life on all that Christ has done for us. The wise person isn't building something that follows the blueprints of their passions and desires. They've heard Jesus' warnings that a time of destruction is coming, a time of judgment is coming. They are following his words. They are building a house for God according to God's own blueprint, not their own, because they trust in God. They're not leaning on their own understanding, as Proverbs 3 says. But there is a danger. Because these two builders and their houses can look very similar. One can mistake worldliness for godliness. You know, when you look at a nice house, I don't remember many people saying, "Oh, look at those foundations. Aren't they nice?" You don't say that, do you? You see the house. You look at the house. You admire the house. The foundations are generally unseen. The heart of man is unseen. But it's in that moment of testing, when temptation comes, that will prove what your house is built on. Because the wise man in humility and reverence before God builds his house, his life on Christ, and wants his house to glorify God, the one who has saved him. The wise man does what God says. He comes in repentance and faith to a holy God. But the foolish man, who thinks he is wise in his own sight, rejects God's word and says that he can build his own house, that he can be his own savior. He builds his house for self. This is what the whole world does. This is what we were doing before God saved us. We chanted along with the world, "I can do it. I can save myself. I can do enough good works to earn my salvation even." The foolish person doesn't acknowledge their complete and utter need of Christ to rescue them, to clothe them with a righteousness that is not their own. They build their house in an attempt to please others, to look good, and also maybe to even try and please God. You know, this is what the self-righteous Pharisees of Jesus' day were doing. All their religious works were performed to make a name for themselves. They weren't carried out in humble reverence to a gracious God who had saved them from their sin by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh on the cross. They weren't living their lives in praise to his glorious grace. That is 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." There is a huge difference of heart between someone who is building their life on the words of Christ and someone who isn't. It all comes down to glory. Are you going to glorify self and follow your passions and desires? Or are you going to glorify God? Jesus' closing remark is all about personal application. Us taking God's word and living it out. What are you building your life on? It may be that you can go through life without God. You may be very successful and have a good life. But the truth is that we will all face death. We will all face the great destruction, the shadow over all mankind. And Jesus warns us in his word that there is life after death, and how we live now matters. Jesus warns us that there is a place where God is not, and that place is outer darkness. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal torment for those who reject God's word. Well, now you're just scaremongering. No, I'm not. This is Jesus' warning to us. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. God's word is going to be our judge. Look at what Jesus says elsewhere in John 12. From verse 44, he says this. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." This word of God is going to judge us. So we better learn it. We better know it. We better do it. Well, now you're just being a legalist. You're preaching salvation through works. No, I'm not. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. What I'm calling us to think about, is holiness. Holiness is not legalism. Jesus was the most holy, righteous person who will ever live, and he wasn't a legalist. See, the wise man comes to God in faith and repentance, receives forgiveness through Christ's death on the cross, and then strives to live a life, a holy life, in honor of the one who has saved them. They don't always get it right, for sure. They fall into sin and temptation at times. But they set their feet on Christ, and then they begin to build in humble reverence to God, submitting to his word. They long to build a house that glorifies the one who has saved them. They're not like the foolish man who builds a house for himself, trying to get the world and God to look at him. The wise builder wants people to see that their house, their life, points to God. Holiness doesn't judge others. Holiness goes the extra mile. Holiness loves their enemies and prays for those who persecute them. Holiness wants to be sexually pure. Holiness doesn't want to have a love affair with money. True holiness doesn't look at the world around it with contempt. But instead, the wise builder wants to be in the world, but not of the world. As Jesus said in his sermon, in chapter 5 from verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The wise builder wants to be a light shining in the darkness to point people to Christ. They want to bring people to know the God who has saved them and can save them too. Think of Peter's words, the verses we use as our mission statement here in 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim. Our lives are to be lived as a proclamation to the one who has saved us from our sin, the one who has redeemed us with his precious blood. We are to scream and shout about the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once we understand God's grace and receive the free gift of salvation through Christ alone, Peter urges the church, beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. James, the brother of Jesus, gives us this word in chapter 1 of his letter to the church. Be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. If we are not doers of God's word, we are deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If we want to be the wise builder, we have to make sure that we are building our lives on the foundation of God's word. Otherwise, we're in danger of deceiving ourselves. If we walk away from God's word, we forsake God and build on something else. The Lord's Prayer, as we call it, as Jesus taught us, I think would be better named the prayer of the wise builder. It's God's blueprint for us to follow. It says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be hallowed. Not mine, Lord, yours. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not my will, but yours, Father. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You are our provider, our sustainer, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We've got to seek the Lord to help us to live a life that glorifies him. I know it's not going to be easy at times. But we need to pray as Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. We need to seek the Lord for his help to do this, because we realize that we can't do it on our own. Psalm 1:2. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We need to know God's word. We need to write it on the tablet of our hearts. Or Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. There is great reward in keeping God's word. We are going to be rewarded by our Heavenly Father. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You have a decision to make. Will you come to God, who has shown you his love through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving him over, so that he could willingly come and die on the cross and take upon himself our punishment to reconcile us to God? Or will you carry on building a house on the foundations that you have made that are contrary to God's word? Amen.